Okay, welcome to episode whatever of the Gabriel Mayers podcast. It is 9:40 in the a.m. here on a Sunday morning in Brooklyn, New York, in the black part of Brooklyn, New York, the part where it's still hard to get organic food and poke and things like that. I wanted to make this podcast in honor of all the white dudes who have decided to, on the first days of Black History Month, make it their contribution to try to silence one of our great black voices, which is me. I think I had a nice little revelation over the weekend, and that revelation was basically that people are able to communicate with me directly because of the internet, because of social media, and because of that, there's this false idea in my head that these people are on the same intellectual, moral, spiritual level as me, but they're not. And it's a very arrogant thought to think, but I was just like in the mood to think these arrogant thoughts, I guess. And I also thought, you know, like I may just be the next Bob Dylan. Maybe not in a measure of status, you know, maybe I won't sell as many records as him or get as many fans as him. But the spirit of what Bob Dylan is and was about, I represent through my words and my passion for the music that I do, for the work that I do. So it's like a privilege that these people have of being able to be alive at the same time that I'm breathing air on this planet. This is the way I've started looking at it. And this sounds very Trumpy, very full of myself, but I feel like I needed to go to this place in order to not have myself kind of sinking down to their level. And I realized that it's what was happening. I'm saying these very, I'm saying things that require thought, basically. I'm saying things that require thought and patience and the ability to self-investigate, the ability to examine and understand nuance in speech. And I'm talking to people who are who just sort of have A, B, on, off, 1-0 brains. Like it's either this or it's that kind of brains. Like, you're talking about white people in a negative manner, therefore you're a racist, without even understanding the context or anything like that. I feel pretty good this morning. I feel pretty good because I put Instagram down, and my fans picked their Instagrams up and started just, you know, giving me waves of support and just like burning all these people who, I mean, it's mostly anonymous people that do this typically. It's typically anonymous people that sort of take up these flags that no one else wants to hold up, which it's just so ridiculous, the idea that I'm like, that me, I'm racist against white people. Me. You can hear me. You can hear how I sound. I have been around in my life and inside so many white people, that the only way that I can say the criticisms that I'm giving about white culture is because I have been inside it. I've been privy to the inner workings of white people and their conversations. And, you know, I'm seen, I think, in most rooms as a white ally or one of those black people that's not like other black people that white people can talk to and feel comfortable around. So to call me a racist against white people is just ridiculous sounding, since I hear from everyone who is everyone that I sound and look and act like the type of guy who never has sex with black women or doesn't date black women, rather. And the or you know, people tell me all the time, I thought you were white. You know, but I'm not. I'm a black guy. You know, I'm Dave Chappelle. I'm Chris Rock. I'm Bob Dylan. I'm Jimi Hendrix. I'm Muhammad Ali during Vietnam. I'm the guy who does the amazing thing that's so amazing that you can't help but pay attention to me. And since I have gotten your attention that way, or started to get your attention that way, I'm now going to open you up to truth. With my voice and my songs, I've opened, hopefully, your heart up a little bit to truth and beauty. And with these podcasts, with my Instagram posts, with my live streams, I'm gonna just fucking stick a jack in that thing and fucking rip open that heart hole. Because Trump is in the office, babies, you know? We got bad people in charge. We got a bad regime. It didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of a lot of ignorance. It came out of a lot of black people like me who exist in the white world, not saying what needs to be said, sort of trying to be generally acceptable to a lot of rich, wealthy white people who aren't really concerned with black people. And it has to stop. Somebody has to speak up. Jussie Smollett, he's an actor. He should be not just an actor, he's a celebrity. He should be beyond being assaulted by random yin-yangs in the street. You know, I can't even think of the word for it. They're racist, they're Trumpies, they're MAGA people. But we live in such a place that, like, you know, this is what it's like. You know, Desus Nice of the infamous Bodega Boys said, you know, this might be the last Black History Month that we have. We got to go hard this month. So no, I don't think, at least for this month, I don't think I'm going to be pulling any punches. And I'm certainly not making it a special point to go after white people. That's never been my platform, really. I'm for truth and beauty and against ignorance in all shapes and forms. You know, I'm against ignorance from any color of people. But usually the ignorance that people of color have is not backed by this entire system of supremacy. It's been established over 100 of years, you know, while we have a white supremacist regime in the Oval Office. This is an important time for me to be able to speak. And if you're one of these white dudes who's like, but I want that black guy to stop talking, then you're on the wrong side of history. And, you know, my true fans know it. I know it. You know, my friends know it. You don't know it, though. And I want to go back and forth with you in the comments and make it a teachable moment, but I don't have anything to teach you anymore, I think. I'm really all about the now relatively small segment of the population who gets me. And who gets where I'm coming from, and who needs me to keep coming from where I'm coming from. I just realized I'm wearing headphones, and they're unnecessary, and I can't hear myself. I'm using my Shure microphone. I don't know. This is just for the tech geeks out there. In case you notice that it sounds a little bit more brilliant on my end. I'm using, I forget which model it is, but it's the Shure microphone. It's a condenser mic that you just plug straight into your iPhone. It costs about $80 to $100. If you're an independent musician or an independent audio person of any kind, you're recording a podcast or stream or so. This isn't a paid advertisement, by the way. I just think I've had this thing for years now. I can just throw it in my bag and create a professional quality recording by just plugging this shit in. It works. I love it. So I went back to look at some old Bob Dylan clips, and just my favorite Bob Dylan time is when he went electric, because, you know, no one knew at that time that he was going to be, I'm making pizza, by the way, I'm reheating pizza. No one knew at that time that he was going to be like one of the greatest artists of our time, one of the most important voices for art, not just for politics, you know, one of the greatest political voices, one of the great voices of the civil rights movement, and one of the great voices for just the art movement, you know. Dylan decided to say a lot of things that people didn't agree with. And I remember before I ever got on TV or anything or put out an album, I was watching Dylan and watching him do these things and looking up to him and being like, man, this little weedy nerd is saying what the fuck he wants and standing in his truth. And people are trying to get him to shut up and he's not doing it. And I'm even more so Bob Dylan, I think, because I'm black. I think Bob Dylan was representing the interest of overlooked, downtrodden people when he spoke up. I think he was heavily representing the interests of black people, which is part of the reason why he got big during the civil rights movement. Black people suddenly saw that this white man was deciding to really stand up and speak up for them and with them, you know? And it's not like that now. There's not many white dudes out there who are like caping for black people in that manner that he did at that time. You know, I think I have a responsibility as a white appealing black musician. Hold on, I'm gonna have to pause this soon. But I think I have a responsibility as a white appealing black musician to talk on black issues and to speak up about these things. All right, I'm gonna take a quick pause here. All right, and I'm back. My heroes, my first musical hero that I pretty much picked up the guitar for was Kurt Cobain. And if you don't know Kurt or know anything about Kurt, Kurt hated the system. Kurt wanted to destroy the system. All systems of oppression. I guess I'm trying to say the people that I've loved in music and comedy and entertainment and in literature have always been revolutionary people. They have not been the kind of people to be silenced by people who do nothing with their lives. You know, it upsets me that someone who maybe works at like a gas station and who's only thinking about how they can stick it to Big Rhonda gets online and thinks that they can like contend with me verbally and intellectually. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, and it might just be a child, because it's like a lot of the people that do this stuff, that do the like fighting and the, you know, calling me out for reverse racism, which is stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid to be like, you're calling out racism? You're a racist. It's like, yeah. Look, white people and black people don't live in the same world. If you don't know that or you want to pretend like we do, then like I don't even feel the need to acknowledge you outside of this podcast, which is, you know, I think that's the concession I've allowed myself. Like, I'm not going to engage these people on Instagram, because if you got some dumb shit to say, I'm not going to engage you. I'm not going to like your thing. I'm not going to like send some snide remark and put like a winky face after it, because I won't feel any better for having bested someone that I really see as my intellectual inferior. It won't help me. But if I'm able to somehow turn your ire and your ignorance into podcast gold, and make actual, because of my sponsors, thank you Anchor for providing an amazing tool for people such as myself to express themselves and make a little change. I made my first dollar from podcasting. It's only $1. Once I cash it out, it'll be 80 cents, I think. But you know, I'm on my way there. I've got some reviews. Thank you to those of you who've rated and reviewed. If you haven't given me a rating, I see there's 46 listeners for the last episode. Hopefully some of you will take the time and go over to iTunes and rate me on iTunes. Even if you don't listen to iTunes, go create an iTunes account specifically for the purpose of rating and reviewing this podcast, I'd really appreciate it. Beyond appreciated, I sort of like need you to rate and review it so that it comes up on more people's discovery thing, and so that I get more listeners and have access to better sponsorships, which will ultimately help me make a living and encourage me to do this on a longer term basis. Right now, this is more of an experiment, and hopefully the experiment will work out in terms of me, you know, backing up that Brinks truck, as Chris D'Elia says, and putting some money in my bank account. So I'm the black Bob Dylan, I'm the black John Lennon, I'm the black Kurt Cobain. I'm an artist and a thoughtful person, and I have a right to this expression. And it's just like a dumb time of year to do it. It's like if during Women's Month, I don't know if there's a Women's Month. I think, is there Women's Month or Women's Day? It's like during that day or that month, if you decided, oh, this woman's talking up about how men do this and men do that, I'm going to shut her down. And as a man, like, why would you choose that time to do that unless you were like the most vile, ignorant asshole that ever existed? And this is what I'm starting to see in these people, to be so ignorant that on February 1st, you're going to, February 1st, I posted a video of a police officer using excessive force on two black people. And some whitey white Chad, as you'll hear from the last episode, came on and was like, stop. Well, he said you should have followed the cop's orders, idiot. It's like first day of Black History Month. That's the side you want to be on? These people are beyond ignorant. These are not people who are even probably aware of the Jussie Smollett attack. You know, these are people who probably watch Empire for fun to laugh at black people and then don't concern themselves with black issues because they're just enjoying their white privilege. And, you know, enjoying white privilege, like just enjoying it out of the box, is like people who have diabetes because they eat candy for breakfast, dinner, and lunch. It's like there's more flavors to the world than just your fucking sweet, delicious privilege. And if you've really had enough of it, you'll understand how noxious it is, how syrupy and disgusting and fake and false white privilege is. But I think that's the thing. You know, no one alive invented white privilege, and it was really established culturally over a long time to make people subconsciously think a certain way about themselves. I don't know how at this point in history, someone says white and it perks your white ears up to defend whiteness. I don't know what neighborhood you're from, son, but why would you even want to defend whiteness? Even if you disagree with me, why would you even want to defend whiteness? You want to carte blanche defend whiteness as a concept? You want to defend whiteness from being assailed by the sons of a sons of a sons of a slaves? You know? It just doesn't make sense as a stance to take. So I just started to figure, oh, these are the most morally reprehensible people that exist. And they've got internet access. And I was talking to my special friend, as a caller, about the fact that I think that, the internet and cell phone technology and social media, you know, these are little tiny computers in our hands, and the technologies come too fast. Like the technology, like within my hand, I have the ability to learn any language, find out any, like I have infinite data and connectability to millions of people on the planet. But this thing is mostly used by most people for tits and talking mad shit that doesn't make any sense. Mad, unthought out shit. It's like, you go to your boring job that you hate, to your partner that you don't like, that you're with out of convenience, and your whole life isn't yours, and you've never really thought independently in your entire life. You do everything your parents say, and then you get online, and then you see some nigger talking all out of pocket. At least that's the way you see it, and it really pisses you off because you've never even thought outside the box. You've never even thought that there is a box to think outside of. You know, you haven't smoked the DMT. You haven't done the acid and the mushrooms, and you haven't studied Buddhism and studied spirituality and all those esoteric religions and stuff like that to even get a glimmer of truth. And yet somehow you're able to connect to me. That's a privilege you have. It's not a privilege for me to entertain your dumb ass. It's really not. It's draining. And I think that's the point. I think it's the point, really, of these white dudes to try to slowly drain me of energy. They can't. They're not powerful enough or smart enough to do it all at once, to say something scathing or to release their own artwork or their own meme that challenges what I'm saying, that could get other people on their side. It's just to needle me. It's just to drag me into this realm of like a false argument about something that doesn't need to be argued. You know, drag me into a reverse racism debate. There's no such thing as reverse racism. If I manage to reverse racism on white people, then they're going to crown me king, okay? I've just finished heating up my pizza. I think I overcooked it. What you do when you want to heat up pizza is you, I'm giving you all the tips, babes. I'm giving you cooking tips now. When you want to reheat pizza, what you want to do is put it in the pan with like a good bit of water. I would say two tablespoons, 1.5 to 2 tablespoons, maybe even 3. And then you're going to cover it, and then you're going to put it on that low heat, and then it's going to get steam heated up, and it's going to completely refresh your pizza. It's going to taste like hot out of the oven. Ow. That is hot pizza. How disrespectful is it of me to eat while I'm talking about these issues on a podcast? But that's just what I do for you kids, you know? I'm sharing the raw and natural me. Yeah, you know, I'm Gabriel effing Mayers. Not many people know about me. And I don't know if a lot of people ever will. But I do know I have to stay on the right side of history. And certainly not the side of, like, you know, just sing pretty songs that people like and shut the fuck up. And me being black is incidental. I'm just accidentally black, and I don't have black thoughts, and I don't have experiences being a black man that navigates a mostly white world. You know, look, white dudes, you have something to learn from me. I am not from Connecticut. I didn't grow up in the suburbs. I grew up in the middle of hood-ass Brooklyn during gang times, during the Bloods and Crips wars, during the times where people would have their faces and neck slashed open, and, you know, kids would carry box cutters to my school. I still remember a kid that sliced open my coat just for fun. Just for fun. Just to show that he could. And I've managed to come from that to this, to, you know, to VH1, to HBO, to Sundance Film Festival, to the Oscar, the Academy Awards shortlist. I don't know where else I'll go from here. I don't care too much. I really care about establishing this, though, because I feel like this is more important than anything someone's going to hand me, you know? Someone may hand me a Grammy, but it won't be as important as these podcast episodes that I'm waking up and doing. It won't be as important as these songs that I'm writing. It won't be important as these Instagram posts or these live streams or even just the messages that I send to people. You know, I'm carving my name in a rock, and I don't know who will read it, but I know it's important that I write something true and honest to me, even if I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't really think I'm wrong or very off base with the things I'm thinking and saying. I think it's overdue for a revolution. No one thought Donald Trump would get elected. But every black person knew that that might happen, because racism has just gone underground. We know that for each white liberal, They have an uncle or a cousin who is a dangerous conservative or a Trump voter. That's just like, that's pretty much a fact that for each, you know, cool, pot-smoking, Bernie-loving, even Hillary-voting white person, they know very closely someone who is very much a racist or very much ignorant about race and racism and believes in reverse racism. And I'm tired of acting like all we have to worry about as black people in terms of this system of white supremacy are these Hicks who call themselves the KKK, or the, you know, the Sons of Anarchy, you know, racist Viking bikers, and the khaki wearing Charlottesville marchers. No. Racists also wear suits. Racists also wear pink pussy hats. Racists also support Bernie. Racists also support Hillary. Racists also voted for Barack Obama. But the thing is, it's a socially accepted racism and ignorance about the system that we live in. It's white people calling themselves poor because they don't understand how incredibly privileged they are just to have that skin color and how racist the world is. And they may never know. Because the cat, there's such a wide cat. Like, I don't hang out, you know what I mean? I don't hang out with those white people, and I wouldn't. And those white people wouldn't even care that I won't hang out with them. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not like if you're an ignorant white person, you're not walking around collecting woke black friends. You're not walking around collecting black friends that are gonna challenge you about the concept of whiteness. It's just not something you do. And so, you know, the ignorant stay ignorant. And the woke hopefully get more woke. I'm sprinkling smoked paprika on my pizza now. I'm having Domino's thin crust pizza with pineapple and banana pepper. No meat. But there's cheese on it. No meat, though. It's pretty good. Yeah. I have low self-esteem. I'd imagine that most black people do in the white world. Or, not that they have low self-esteem, but they have to sort of combat this Eurocentrism that's pushed everywhere. I have low self-esteem, so I have to like remind myself of these things. Like I've been through a hell of a journey to get here, to get to the point where people are, to where hundreds of people are listening to me online, to where people, you know, even 46 people tuning in to hear my podcast titled How Incredibly White of You. Like, that's a huge accomplishment for me. And I guess the reason that I let the stream drop and let the podcast drop before, because there's a huge gap between the first two podcast episodes and this series, is just I thought no one really cared, no one wanted to listen, or that I didn't really have anything to say, or that what I had to say wasn't important, which I think has to be, it's a sin against myself to think that. I'm really important. I'm not self-important, though. But I'm articulate, intellectual, black, a man. I was born in America. I dropped out of high school, educated myself. I am my own boss. The world needs to hear everything that I have to say about everything because I am such a unique person. And you're just another white dude, probably. You're just another white dude who's uncomfortable with black people talking about racial and social issues. You're one of many. And you will do nothing significant with your lives. Maybe you'll do a fire festival. But you won't do anything significant and social changing. You're not going to make anyone weep. You're not going to touch anyone. You're just going to say some shit on the internet with your free time. By the way, you got too much of it. and go back to your whiteness, you know? They don't understand. This guy said, even if you disagree that there is white privilege, at least get the concept. There was this guy who said, I'm being honest with you when I say I do not feel any special privilege from whiteness. It's like, of course you don't feel it. That's what it is. That's the concept of privilege. So you don't even get the concept of privilege. You don't even get the do you understand the concept that rich people don't feel rich? Especially if they've always been rich? So it's like, this is what I mean though. And I feel compelled to like make it a teachable moment. Hey, the concept, you know, these are not guys Googling about, like, what is white privilege? How can I understand it? These are not the guys. These are the guys who are just, like, enjoying their white privilege, man. Not willing to understand it. Not willing to acknowledge it. Theo Von has this great joke about white privilege. But again, he's a comedian. And he's making jokes. Y'all are serious about this. But Theo Von says, wish I could just pull up the clip right now for you. But he says, you know, white privilege, man, I wish I had some white privilege going up. He grew up in, what do you call it, Mississippi, kind of, what is it, Louisiana. He grew up in Louisiana. And if you've ever been to Louisiana, people's poor out there. People's poor out there. So he said, no, he grew up in a poor neighborhood, poor black people next to poor white people. And he's like, man, I wish I had some privilege growing up, man. Theo Von's talked many times about being poor, but in this bit, he says, you know, his black friends say to him, you know, look what you did to us, man. Look what you did to us. And Theo would say back to them, man, you think I would do all that to you and then move in right next door and not have any of the stuff I took from you? Which is like a funny way to look at it, right? Obviously, you know, there's white homeless people, right? What privilege does he have? He has a privilege that the black homeless person doesn't have. And motherfuckers that are white will not see that shit because they don't have to see that shit. If you leave Broadway Junction, there's a white man, there's a white bum with a dog who begs there for money. It's a black neighborhood. Black people give that guy money. Black people will not give black bums money. I see it because literally I have to. It's survival. You don't see that shit because you're like, I mean, these are people with an absidarian way of thinking. And I love the word absidarian because it's like you have an ABCD way of thinking. You think like a child. You think this, then this, then this. And you have a problem thinking outside the box. And basically that's what absidarian means. It means you have a very elementary way of thinking. So I love that word, absidarian. I might be getting the meaning wrong, but I think that's it. You think that white privilege means that you have money, which means that you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Just want to make that clear and say that louder. If you think white privilege means that you have money, then you're an idiot. That's not what white privilege means. White privilege means that because of your skin color, you have a special set of privileges that people with not your skin color have. Just acknowledging that will immediately pop open your mind. Well, I can see how in a certain situation, my white skin, yeah. Because you wanna bring the conversation down to this bullshit level where it's like, how do I have white privilege? I just fish. I just fish and whittle at my cabin in the woods. How do I have white privilege? It's like, I see you, white man. I see you, but your tricks is getting real flat since the internet. Since the internet, we have access to all this information, those tricks are real flat. Especially if you can kind of refer to an article of all these things that white people tend to say in response to the idea of white privilege. Again, I'm going to say Theo Von and his joke is an exception just because he's a comedian and that's for entertainment purposes. And he says a whole lot of other ignorant things, but I love his comedy. But I feel like it's also coming from a good place, a comedic expression, an expression of how he really feels. Like, he really feels like, man, I don't have white privilege. But he's, I don't feel any white privilege. He really feels that, and he's expressing that. But he's not then going out and being like, look, all these Black Lives Matter people, bullshit, it's a terrorist organization. That's what y'all are doing. You are on the wrong side of history. You're bad people. Sammy Grass, you're a bad person, man. You don't see it, but you're a bad person. I will not address you directly on Instagram because you're not worth it. You don't deserve the acknowledgement beyond this medium. You know, I'll put you behind a glass display and point at different aspects of you for the class, but I'm certainly not going to give you the honor of having a direct conversation with me. I'm Black Bob Dylan, baby. I'm fucking Black John Lennon. I'm fucking Black George Carlin. I'm fucking Chris Rock. I'm Dave Chappelle. I'm one of the leading thinkers. Not widely recognized, but still. I'm sure at some point, we can only hope. Meanwhile, this seems like a good time for a plug. Please rate and review this podcast. If you're listening on some other medium and you just absolutely can't get to iTunes to rate and review, make sure you share it. Share it. Share every episode. Share it multiple times. Especially share that last episode, How Incredibly White of You. I really like that title. I also like the episode before, DMT Doesn't Make You Smarter. I love that one too. Share these podcasts because they really help get the word out there. And, you know, what's better than, like, let's say some big company saying, hey, Gabe, we like your stuff. We want to publish you, is like individuals telling people that are close to them, this really matters to me. I need you to listen to this. I need you to watch this. That matters more than anything. Personal recommendations are still the king of everything. So make sure you share, send an email out there, send a text message with the podcast and say, you got to listen to this guy. He's fucking hilarious and so insightful. And doesn't he sound white? You know, your racist white friends will love the fact that I sound white and I'm talking about black issues. They'll love it. Love it. Because they're designed to dismiss black voices inherently. So I've had to, by the way, I didn't grow up putting on a white voice. So my mom is from Barbados. My mom's passed away now, but she was from Barbados when she was alive. And I guess she still was, if we're using tenses in that manner. And she spoke with a little bit of an island, you know, twang, and she herself wasn't incredibly well educated or self-educated, and you know, she made it a priority to carry herself, in her words, not mine, not like a common class person. And so people will ask me, like, how come you don't sound like you're from Brooklyn? It's like, well, it's just because I'm like, I guess, I don't know, I don't even want to say anything that, like, disparages people who talk a certain way. But I think it's just, like, honestly, because I've, like, just watched so much white television and shit like that and read so many books. And, like, my mom was so, and went to, like, a pretty good school early on, you know, like, gifted and talented elementary school. And when I was in junior high, I went to Philippa Schuyler for one semester. Like, I was a smart kid, so they don't encourage you to speak in, like, slang and ebonics, you know? This was actually around the time that they were trying to wipe out that idea, because that was something that they were doing in schools at the time. They were like, oh, well, let's teach the black kids ebonics, because it will be easier to teach the black kids ebonics than teaching them, like, the King's Speech, you know? So I'm just, I guess, I don't know, that's just the way I talk, man. I'm an intellectual person. It's hard for me to talk street, because I am not. I mean, I can leave off my G's and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, I didn't grow up a household where people said nigga a lot. So that's why often when you hear me say nigger, it'll be with an R and to make a point, because it's not really a part of my speech. Be like, yo, nigga. It just doesn't flow off my tongue. I don't really talk like that, and I don't really often hang out with many people like that. Because really, working class black people mostly want nothing to do with me. Because they're like, you're a white property, and you don't represent our culture. Which is fine. But I don't know. I represent me. And I like the position I'm in. You know, I'm a crossover or whatever the fuck. Which I just think that's me. I don't know how so many people are comfortable fitting in a box. I've never been comfortable with that idea. Even at a very young age, I've never been comfortable with the idea of being just like everyone else, following a prescribed path that everyone else is following. Very into Fight Club. Very into Fight Club in my younger days, because fuck all that noise with how you gotta be like how everyone else is. Fuck that noise. That shit's not for me. I'm a unique fucking little snowflake. I have something to say. And yet at the same time, I know I'm not really different than anybody else. You know, the stuff I'm saying isn't really that much different than anybody else really thinks. But I think for what is socially acceptable, I don't think people want to go off talking shit about white people and culture and politics and stuff like that. I don't think they don't want the smoke. I want the smoke. Like, I forget what his name was, but it's that, like, white gangster kid that I put on my Instagram a while ago. But he was like, you know, the other day you came up, asked me to take off my flag, asked me how a gangster I was, and I said I didn't have time, but now I got time. Now I got time. And exactly, you know, if you come talking shit on my Instagram, you come talking some wild reverse racism shit, I got time for you on this podcast. I got time, son. Do not test my gangster. You do not want your motherfucking name ending up in a song. You do not want to be ridiculed and reviled and become a piece of satire in this culture that I'm helping to create, okay? I got time for you if you got some shit to say. Bet. I'm really thankful for my fans. I really have to say that a million times. I'm thankful for the people that caped for me so hard. I'm thankful for my white people that caped for me. I'm thankful for the very few black people that think I'm cool and caped for me as well. I think I have a responsibility to talk for all the other black musicians that I know who can't talk as much shit because they're worried about their paycheck. What I've established in the subway by being so good at doing that is having fuck you money, which means like, look, rich white man, I don't need your money. I don't need your opportunity. I have created my own. I'm not ashamed to play in the subway anymore. Used to be ashamed of it. You can't be ashamed. Like, between 1 and 3 yesterday at, what's it called? Atlantic Avenue Barclays Center, that station. I plopped down for 2 hours, played about 15 songs, maybe. I don't know how many songs I played, actually. But I played about a set and a half. And I made it out of there with like $80, $90. You know, that's not me bragging. That's just me saying like I had to work at that and build that skill to be able to do that. Motherfuckers who've been playing music for a million years can't do that. Motherfuckers who've been written up by IndieWire or whatever the fuck can't do that because it takes something special. And I'm not gonna fucking sit on that fuck you money and not use it for something good and purposeful and meaningful. That is the reason why I'm here. I'm constantly thinking about my own death and dissolution and the importance of my life and the kind of impact I'm making. I'm not gonna back down because someone says, oh, your voice is so great, you should just concentrate on the music. I've done that. Look, white people, don't tell me to focus on the music. You don't know what the fuck I should focus on. If you knew what I should focus on, you'd be me. I'm not going to take advice from you. You're a square. Do you know that? Do you know that you're a square? There's nothing wrong with being a square, but if you don't know, then that makes you even more square. Your entire life isn't your own. Do you know what I mean? Your entire life is out of convenience. Your entire life is a safety net that you fell into. I dug myself up out of the dirt without permission and made myself something. I'm a real person. I'm in color. You're Pleasantville. Do you get it? I'm Black Bob Dylan. I'm Black John Lennon. I'm Black Kurt Cobain. I'm Black Prince. You know, I'm bucking the current of society. And as I do that, the flotsam and jetsam of ignorance float up to me through Instagram and say, well, it sounds pretty racist of you to say the crowd was too young, rich, and white to laugh at anything interesting. Are you saying that white people have an inability to laugh at anything interesting? And it's like, I can't even respond to that because you don't realize that you've set me up because you're that dumb. You're not on the same level, but Instagram gives you the appearance of being on the same level. When you go to my Instagram, your Instagram should be dark gray and mine should be gold. Do you know what I'm saying? Just so you know going into it, like, oh, this person's better than me. But you look down on me because you see a nigger talking shit. You see an ignorant nigger talking shit, and so you think you can talk shit back, but you can't. And when you do, I repost your stuff, and you look like a fucking fool. So don't do it. Sit back, don't leave comments, don't like the posts you don't like, and watch. But you don't have to. I think that's the thing. You don't have to sit and watch. You don't have to understand because your privilege is that high. And all the people that are fans of mine, they're all like creative people striving after something more. You know, I'm thinking about Scarlett. I'm thinking about Scarlett Money, you know. She manages Subway Sandwiches, and I used to work at Subway Sandwiches, by the way, so we connected on that. And it's like a very basic job, you know, in Subway Sandwiches. But she's also a singer in her part-time. She's striving after something more. She's a dreamer. People that go skiing and snowboarding are not going to be big fans of mine. People that are just like in the depths of like the most privileged white activities and the most privileged white lives are not going to be big fans of mine. Because why would you want your shaky reality challenged? I'm going to be best for people who have nothing to lose. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose, Bob Dylan said in his most famous song. And Janis Joplin said, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, and nothing, it ain't nothing if it ain't free. And all this is free, by the way. It's my pleasure. The busking, when people walk by, I give them all of me. Do you know how many times I almost break down and cry playing in the subway? Because I'm giving them the real shit. It ain't some watered down, hey, I'm singing for you, please like me, please give me a dollar shit. I'm like, no, I'm taking you to that place. I'm going to take you over the place of normal TikTok society to a place of emotion and feeling and beauty and truth. Because I'm Black Bob Dylan, I'm Black John Lennon, I'm Black Kurt Cobain. I'm Black, Allen Ginsberg. I'm Black Andy Warhol. I'm Kanye West, you know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if something I say really offends you and really hurts you. But I can only think that if it really offends you and really hurts you, it needed to. It needed to poke a hole in your membrane against understanding in order to let something in. I've never heard from the Sammy Grass person about anything else, but as soon as I start talking about white culture, he's on my Instagram every day. Why is that? For those of us in the audience who are thinking and feeling, why is it that as I just put out music normally, I play Creep, you know, here's my album, da-da-da. I don't hear from these people, and as soon as I comment on social issues, that's when they speak up. Not many statements of support come from these people, but they'll be right there when they feel like they need to shut you down. It's because mommy and daddy taught them to be a good little white boy or girl and shut down people of color who are acting out of line. It's a grand old tradition, and it's not that old. The 60s weren't that long ago, you know? It really wasn't that long ago. And so you're just the, you know, when the first black people went and sat at that counter that they weren't supposed to sit at and have lunch at, you're the white people who were like, why don't you just not sit at the counter? I don't understand. You're those people. There's this song. I don't know if it'll make much sense right now, but anyway, it's a Bob Dylan song. You should go listen to it. It goes, there's a time will come when the wind will stop and the breeze will cease to be breezing. Okay, I don't know all the words to it. It's called The Hour That the Ship Comes In. But the point of it, I think, and along with songs like The Times They're Changing, is that, like, I'm not going to stop for you because time will show me to be the victor. I reside in truth. I speak from truth and beauty, honesty. You're just some random fucking Instagram commenter. You're not thinking about what you're saying. You got your shit on private. You're not revealing your real face. You're not making posts or art about anything you think because you don't really think. You don't really feel. Not in the way that I do. Not in a three-dimensional way. You just repeat stuff you've heard. You just repeat stuff you've heard and go back to whiteness, where you don't have to think about anything beyond the tenets of whiteness. All right. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the podcast. This is the Gabriel Mayer's podcast. This is episode whatever. I think I'll title this episode The Black Bob Dylan because that'll make me really happy. Please rate and review and subscribe on iTunes if you're on Spotify or one of those other platforms listening. Please share it. Tag me. I'm at Gabriel Mayer's on Twitter and I'm at Gabriel Mayer's NYC on Instagram. Don't be afraid to send me a DM. Make sure it's nice or at least thoughtful. If you disagree with me and it's a thoughtful statement, then I won't be a dickhole to you. I'll have an actual discussion with you. People have done that before and it's nice to actually have an actual discussion with someone who disagrees with me or doesn't exactly know where I'm coming from. But if you're one of those people who's like, you're just a racist, there's no such thing as white privilege, then you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You got no legs to stand on. And then I go, it's always the same person. It's always someone from like the middle of Tennessee or some like hipster from fucking Williamsburg in like, hey, guess if that guy charismatic wears those fucking shorts that all white guys wear when they're on a boat. Hey, guess if charismatic wears one of those stripy fucking too tight t-shirts that those dudes, hey, guess if charismatic is into CrossFit. Hey, guess if charismatic has like a perfect supercuts haircut. Hey, guess if charismatic takes selfies in which he smiles douchily in his fucking felt overcoat with the upturned collar, looking like an Abercrombie Finch douche. It's like, could you be more white? Could you be more the type of person who argues on February 1st with black people and calls them reverse racist? Could you be any more that person? All right, review and subscribe and share it and tweet it and at me. Thank you so much for listening. This is Gabriel Mayer's and I'm so appreciative of you. Make sure you listen to the commercials and stuff like that. And and hey, if you want to get your own podcast going, visit Anchor. It's really a fantastic tool. This part is unpaid. This is an advertisement for Anchor that's unpaid. They're great. They're my only sponsor. I'm recording into their app right now and they're paying me to do it. That's fucking fantastic. Thank you so much, Anchor, and thank you to my fans. Bye.